Hey everyone, I'm Zach.
And I'm Lucas.
And this is episode 2 of Tales from the Bunk Bed, a bi-weekly entertainment podcast where we go over all the great things we used to love watching and getting into as kids sharing a room. Thanks everyone who tuned into our first official episode last week where we covered the NFL Blitz and NHL Hits franchises. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, had a good time doing that, rehashing those guys again.
Yeah, had a lot of fun revisiting those games. It was a good time to play, and I hope you guys had a good time listening to that one and taking a little trip down the CTE video game lane. We have a good episode in store for you guys this week because Halloween is coming. Actually, this is coming out on Halloween, so it's going to be very appropriate for that. But before we get into that, I got a thing or two I want to talk about and what's been keeping us entertained now. Not too much, so we're going to keep this part pretty quick. But there's one or two, because I know you haven't been watching or doing too much out of the blue recently, right?
No, not really. Been real busy this past week or two.
Yeah, it's October, so as I said the last episode, I've been watching a lot of movies, horror movies, to get in the mood, and I just wanted to recommend one or two before we get into the thick of the show, because we definitely got a lot we want to talk about today. First off, these are two new movies this year. Actually, both came out. One came out this month, the other came out last month. And both are Netflix exclusives, originals, and they're a lot of, I won't say a lot of fun, but they are good. It's the Stephen King double feature of Gerald's Game in 1922, which is so. This is a good double feature to do this time of year. Gerald's Game is, I haven't read either of these books, but Gerald's Game was a book I had always heard about, being one of those stories that's like, that everyone always claimed was unfilmable, because it's basically, what the movie's about is a couple, married couple go out to this, I think it's like a lake house they have, to have a, like, exotic getaway to spice up their sex life, and the, so she gets handcuffed to the bed and her husband has a heart attack and dies, and she's chained to the bed in the middle of nowhere with no one coming for at least like 3 or 4 days. And that's the movie. She's just chained to this bed, and it's intense, and it's pretty messed up, but it's really, really good. And the fact that they're able to translate a story like that to film is cool. I don't know if that at all sounds interesting to you, Lucas, but
yeah, that's an interesting story for sure. I don't think I saw that one on Netflix.
No, and it stars Carla Gugino in the lead role, and she's phenomenal. She gives one of the best performances in a King movie, and that's actually with both of these movies. You're getting, at least in my opinion, two of the best performances we've seen in a King movie. And 1922 is something quite different than Gerald's Game, but they work together because, so 1922 is a movie that takes place in 1922, and it's this guy is writing his confession to having murdered his wife. So like the whole movie is technically a flashback as he's penning this confession, and you're just like watching the story of how him and his son murdered his wife and covered it up. And it's like a really like intense but slow burning kind of melodrama. It's really good because Tom Jane plays the lead. Tom Jane is also not a rookie to King movies. He was the lead in The Mist, and he's phenomenal in that as well. But I didn't even realize it was him, even though I had like kind of known before going in, because he's playing that good of a role that you can barely tell, and he's like that immersed in it. But it's just this really like, I don't really want to say intense, but just really interesting and different story that is 100% Stephen King. And it's nice to see it get translated so well, because these are the it's one of those movies that probably wouldn't get made to get like a big theatrical release, because I don't see how you would get big audiences to go see it in theaters. But it is a really good watch and a really cool story. And they both play. I watched them back to back, and they played really well together. And they're two very good Stephen King adaptations, which we don't get too many of. Although this year is the year of Stephen King with those two, and then obviously It. Which I did go and see again, and it fucking rules. So that's another thing you could just do is go see It again. we don't need to talk about The Dark Tower. That didn't happen this year. No, nope. So yeah, check those out because they're on Netflix and they're really good and worth your time. Other than that, I've mostly just been watching like your typical Halloween time fare, Trick or Treat, Hocus Pocus. We watched Horns yesterday. Have you seen Horns?
Is that the Daniel Radcliffe movie, or am I thinking of something else?
No, it is. That's the Daniel Radcliffe movie, which I am a big fan of. Which is a lot of fun. Yeah, he grows the devil horns, and people just start confessing their worst sins and being terrible people around him. It's a very amusing movie, and it's based on a Joe Hill book, and something I didn't know at the time when the movie came out. Obviously, you know, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, he spitting image. It's crazy, but it is. So it's very much. I don't want to say a Stephen King story, but like he writes in the same genre, but he has his own unique style that's like, so he's not mimicking his dad at all. He has his own style.
Of course not.
Is also very, very good.
But it shadows it a little bit, right?
Well, yeah, it's in that same genre. So like the same lane. Yeah, it's got that like kind of playing with horror a lot and all those other types of genre tropes.
Yeah.
And Horns, I think, is a good. I haven't read the book for Horns, so I can't necessarily say how well of an adaptation it is to the book and the source material, but it's a really fun movie. And it was the first thing I saw with Daniel Radcliffe after Harry Potter.
I don't think I ever actually watched it. I know my girlfriend, she was a really big Harry Potter fan, so I remember when it first popped on Netflix, she was like, oh, we should watch this, blah, blah, blah. And I was totally up for it. And then, like a couple weeks down the road, I was like, oh, you want to watch this? And she kind of just passed it off. She's like, oh, no, I didn't hear too many good things about it or whatever, because I think she heard it was scary or something. I don't know. But we didn't end up watching it, and it's something that I just never got back on my plate.
Yeah, you guys definitely should check it out, because especially because you had her watch Swiss Army Man, and if she got
loves
through
Swiss Army Man.
Yeah, so she likes Danny Radcliffe being weird, and he's kind of off the rails in this, and it's a lot of fun. Because basically he gets his girlfriend gets murdered, and everyone thinks he did it. So the whole movie is him trying to prove his innocence, and he's just kind of losing it, and he's really good. That's why I love it, is because his performance is great, and he's really good. And it's a good movie for this time of year, obviously, but it's a good little murder mystery too. So that's one worth watching and checking out.
Oh yeah.
Also, Murder Party, which I won't say much on, because again, this is I talked about this in our Halloween special for the breakdown this week. But it's Jeremy Saulnier's first movie, who did Green Room and Blue Ruin. I don't know if did you watch Green Room? I know I have the digital copy up on Vudu.
No, I haven't gotten around to it. That's the one with Anton Yelchin, though, right? The punk band.
Yeah, and the neo Nazis. It's especially now, you should watch it. It's a good catharsis. Watch some Nazis get killed. his first movie was Murder Party, and it's just this wild, wacky movie of this dude who just shows up at this. He finds an invitation on the ground to this murder party, and he shows up, and it's just a bunch of douchey Brooklyn hipster artists who want to kill someone for their art on Halloween, and it's just this wacky, wild, mad story that kind of like. Because they all just kind of step on their own feet the whole night and keep ruining it, and like it's a lot of fun. It's worth watching. Definitely, I watch it every Halloween, and it's a blast. So check those out. And then one last one, just because this has been in the news recently, because it's getting an American TV spinoff, as well as already in production a spinoff in New Zealand for the cops, and a werewolf movie spinoff, and I am talking about What We Do in the Shadows. And this is also timely because it's directed by Taika Waititi, and Taika Waititi directed the new Thor movie. So if you want to see what his humor is all about before the new Thor movie comes out, go watch What We Do in the Shadows. It's about four vampires living in a flat in New Zealand and just about their everyday lives. It's one of, I think, the funniest movies of the modern age. It's brilliant. It does so much good stuff with genre tropes. It uses its mockumentary style of filmmaking to its advantage so much. And it's just, it's wonderful. Jemaine Clement's in it. It's a great time. Have you seen this yet?
Yeah, no, I borrowed it from you at one point. Did you say it was getting a TV release here or something?
What So first off, the cops. Remember the cops that they like trick when they show up at the house and they're like making and because they're just like making them not see all the vampire shit going on.
Yes,
those cops are getting a TV spinoff in New Zealand, like that's set in New Zealand, and it's just going to be like them, those goofy ass cops doing shit in the New Zealand underworld. So that'll be fun.
Okay,
the werewolves. Are getting a spin-off movie. The Werewolf's Not Swear.
Yep.
They're getting their own movie done at some point. That's in development. And then what Taika just announced in an interview recently was that he's also developing an American version spin-off where it's going to be like that same world but in America. So it's going to be like a group of American vampires
living in like an apartment or something. Like a New Girl type show or movie, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no, this will be a show. Yeah, the American version will be a show.
Okay.
So he loves this universe. I love this universe so much, and I love that he wants to expand it and do stuff like this. So that's really cool. And like I said, it's timely because Thor's coming out this weekend. So if you guys want to know what kind of humor you're in for, because this Kiwi, he's got a great sense of humor, but it's definitely that New Zealand style humor. This is definitely a great spot to like get into it. Great entry level for what he's got going on, and I think you're going to see a lot of it in the new Thor, which I'm super excited for
this week.
It looks so good. I can't wait. But yeah, so unless you got anything you want to like recommend or talk about real quick, I think we can kind of just move into what we're going to be getting into this week.
I'll talk about some of the stuff I've been doing. I've done a little bit the past couple of weeks. This past week, I watched the first three Saw movies because I want to go see Jigsaw, but I got to find the time for that.
I'll be going to see that because we're doing that on the breakdown this week.
Yeah, I completely forgot. Like, I haven't watched these movies, honestly, in probably 7 years, probably since, like, sophomore year of high school or something.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I completely forgot there was, like, actual plot in the movies. I always just remembered it as, oh, there's just gore and bloody murder suicide things. Play a game. Yeah, I completely forgot they, like, actually gave the characters, like, some backstory and... Some of them you care about a little, but you don't really. But you get enough information where you're like, okay, I understand this person. And then you're like, okay, maybe they shouldn't die. But completely forgot that whole plot was there. So it was nice to rewatch the first three.
Of those three, which one's your favorite?
I like one just because I like the bathroom thing they're in. I like that whole where they're together and it's just iconic. It's very basic, but at the same time, it's like there's a lot of twists and stuff. And
well, exactly.
That first twist is uncomparable, honestly.
Well, exactly. And if you want to talk about like every like the last generation, they have so many iconic like horror franchises from all the original slasher series, and there's just so much from the 80s and early 90s that they like have these iconic Scream, all that stuff. Like Saw was our generation's first big horror franchise that was ours. Like Paranormal came down and like some of these other ones, but it was Saw was the first original
2004
horror franchise
I think was the first one that came out.
Yeah, so that first movie, that whole bathroom set piece is iconic. Everybody knows it. If you see that any CD bathroom that's made to look anything like that with the strobe fluorescent lighting and like some blood on the ground and shit, like everyone's saw immediately.
Yeah.
Cuz it's just that iconic, and it's James Wan's first movie, which is also iconic, but it also means it's really well made. And is arguably probably the best made movie in the franchise. Whether it's your favorite or whether you think it's the best, it's definitely the best made. It has the best craft behind it.
Yeah, probably.
I think my not even just out of those three, I think my favorite in the series is the second one.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go the second one or the first one for my favorite of which ones I watched, but the first one's just the original. It's iconic, so I was like, "Yeah, screw it, we'll go with that." But yeah, two is very. I did like two a lot. That's a very good one.
It's the murder house. It's so much fun. Donnie Wahlberg's in it. It's directed by Darren Lynn Bousman, he's a really interesting and fun horror director. He does horror rock operas and stuff like that. He does a lot of fun stuff. Like he did the segment in Tales from Halloween with the, you know, where they play the prank on the kid where they hit like the demon and the little demon dressed up as the kid go out and just wreak havoc.
Yep.
That's Darren Lynn Bousman's segment. So like I love his style. It's super interesting. And I love what he brought to the second Saw movie. The murder house is just, I know it can seem weird to call these movies fun because of what's going on, but come on, it's a murder house. Like it's fun. You know what you're watching, and when you can embrace it, you can really dig it. Three is one of the ones where, as much as I have fun with it, that's one of the ones where the gore and everything gets pretty extreme.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, at times I'm like, is this fun to watch or is this just like kind of fucked up?
And then that's the first one where there's like a little too, there's like the first time they introduce nudity and it's like they're pushing it in a little too much in these movies. It's like, okay, I get it, this is a horror movie, but like you don't need to have like three different women completely naked in this movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Saw 2, the one part that I liked, or the one part that probably was like the most cringeworthy to me in that movie is that heroin needle pit.
Yeah.
Oh man, rewatching it, I was just like as soon as he like picks her up and drops her, I was like, oh no.
That's just one of those things where you see it happen and your brain just instantly shoots through your body, like imagining what it would feel like to drop in there, and you just like squirm, and it's so uncomfortable.
I get one needle getting a shot. Like, can you imagine getting 40 stuck in you full of heroin? You gotta be thinking, where the hell is this guy getting all this heroin from? Because there's at least 600 needles in there.
So I have one bit of fun Saw trivia for you, because I know you're probably not aware of this. Hardcore horror fans know this already. But so Lee Whannell, who wrote the original Saw, and I think he was a co-writer on some of the sequels as well, but he wrote the original with James Wan. He has also gone on to write the Insidious movies with him, and he directed the third Insidious, but he is so Cooties. He co-wrote Cooties.
Oh,
and
really?
Bring it up. Yeah. So not only that, he is in Cooties. He is Doug in Cooties. Do you know who Doug is? Can you think of who Doug is just off the top of your head?
No. I
can't remember what teacher he is. Is he the music teacher who just says the most ridiculous shit?
Yeah,
it is
movie? Definitely the music teacher.
Yep, that's Lee Whannell. He's hilarious. So this is just a bit of horror trivia of that guy's gotten all over the place, and he does a bit of acting at times, and he's really fun. But I thought you'd appreciate that because we are big Cooties fans.
Yeah, I love Cooties. I remember watching that for the first time and just had a blast with it.
It's a good one.
Now
it's
I own one. It.
All right, so the Saw movies, anything else?
I watched the first two episodes of Ghosted, which is the Craig Robinson. I always get those two mixed up. I don't know why.
It's easy.
Craig Robinson, Adam Scott show. Where basically they are thrown into being Ghostbusters. I don't know.
More or less.
Yeah. Did you watch them?
I'm excited you brought this up because I kind of forgot about it, but I'm thoroughly enjoying this show. I think Robinson and Adam Scott have a great chemistry together.
Yeah, they definitely do. And I love Adam Scott and I love Craig Robinson. So the two of them in anything just makes me happy.
Yeah, check it out. It's basically the two of them get recruited to be paranormal investigators. It's basically a mix of Mulder and Scully and the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It's so. And I'll say this: the pilot it's got some good jokes and it's fun. It's a pretty ham-fisted plot that's just there to get these guys together and get you into what the show's going to be.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine, but understand that. Don't get turned off by that in the first episode. Keep going. The next two episodes, I thought were a lot of fun, and I do like their chemistry and what they have going. So I think that's going to be pretty cool going forward.
Yeah, when I picked it up, it was only the pilot and the first actual episode that were available on Hulu. So I watched those two right away, and I'm glad the first episode was available, because the pilot, yeah, it wasn't that great. But that first or second episode technically was a lot of fun with the Halloween party, right? That was the second one.
I think so. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun so far. They did an episode with Craig Robinson's son. Was that the Halloween one? Was that the second episode?
I think so.
That one was a lot of fun, where they get infected with like a zombie type virus, the kids do.
Yep.
And it's like Adam Scott and Craig Robinson get to go around shooting kids with trank darts. But it's a network show where they're going around with guns shooting kids, whether it's trank darts or not. And I think they punch a few kids, maybe, or they definitely hit some kids.
Yeah, I think at one point he's on his back or something and he like throws him off. I don't really remember.
It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it so far. I hope people are watching it. I'd like to see it get to keep going and see what else they have in store.
Yeah, I don't know how long they plan to keep going with this, because they started it at the beginning of October. That was when the first episode aired.
According to the IMDb, they have, is it 10 episodes?
That would make sense. I don't know. Just a nice even number.
And that would be good if they're going to air it like a few weeks before Halloween and then take the few weeks after. Like
Take you to early December.
Yeah,
mid-December.
I like that.
Yeah, but it was nice because September, the beginning of fall, you had Adam Scott and Little Evil, which was a nice little horror comedy. And, of course, the demon child's name was Lucas. So that was fun. I remember I came home one night and my dad was watching it, and I just hear, "Lucas! Lucas!" And they like come down like, "What?" And he's like, "I didn't say anything." Like, you're just messing with me now.
Oh, man.
But yeah, that movie was fun, and it was nice to see right after that this was coming out, so he even had even more Adam Scott, which I like.
Yeah, that's true. I'm all here for more Adam Scott. That's a good thing at all times.
Oh yeah.
Check all that stuff out. Those are all good things to watch this Halloween, even though technically you only have the day that this is coming out. But come on, we're Halloween all year long.
So before we get into our topic, I want to ask you, have you played any more of your SNES Classic, your Super Nintendo Classic?
I haven't gone hard in it yet. I mean, I've dabbled a little Mario and stuff here and there, but I have yet to like do the deep dive. So I don't have much to report on right now. So hopefully soon. Yeah, I know. I thought I was going to get into it on my week off, and I just ended up filling my plate with a whole bunch of other shit. It's that Halloween season. I just feel obligated to watch horror movies and do spooky things, but that's coming to a close, and it's going into the winter season, so there's plenty of times to play video games.
I might
go pick up the new Wolfenstein. I do want to kill some Nazis.
You know what I've been thinking about picking up?
What?
The South Park Fractured Butthole.
Oh, I've heard it's fun.
I heard if you buy it, or this might have just been pre-order only, but you got a digital download of The Stick of Truth, and I never played that, and I'm a little disappointed I never got into it, because I was, as you know, I was a big South Park kid in high school, so I wanted to try and jump in and play it, because I've heard it's basically like a 10-hour South Park episode, which seems like a lot of fun. And it's interactive, so it's even more fun.
Well, yeah, that's almost entirely what it is. I played it just briefly. Like, one of my friends had the Stick of Truth, and I played it for, like, a day. I think it was, like, the day it came out. I was over at his house, and he happened to be playing. And that's pretty much what it is, because, I mean, they have such simple animation. The game looks just like the show, so it pretty much feels like you're just – it's an interactive, super long episode. Almost like you're playing your own season arc of South Park.
Yeah, and you get to create your own characters, so –
Yep. So it they're amusing. I would be interested to play the new one.
Yeah, that's Oh, I got no other games really that I'm looking at.
Nope, nothing. We're not doing no Call of Duties.
And I have I don't think I've touched my PlayStation in the past week besides Netflix.
The new Mario just came out, and I was like sitting on the couch the other day, and I was like, I shouldn't buy a Nintendo Switch, but at the same time, it'd be kind of cool to have a Nintendo Switch. There's hinting at a Super Smash Brothers because they just like released, or they announced they're going to be releasing GameCube controllers for the Switch.
I heard about that.
And I have a feeling, one, I think that means that they're going to do digital downloads of old games, which would be dope. But I think that means Super Smash. I hope it means Super Smash.
That'd be interesting. I mean, I am not going to be, I'm nowhere near buying a Switch, but I do, I'm intrigued by the idea of it. I do think it's a cool system. I like what they're doing. They're making a lot of cool moves. I like that they've come out with a Zelda, and obviously Zelda got great reviews. Mario, from what I'm hearing so far, is getting great reviews. It's cool to see that they're coming out with these new games that have been kind of sitting on the shelf collecting dust for a while.
Yeah, so who knows? We'll see. I'm going to probably irresponsibly spend a lot of money in the next 2 months because it's the holiday season, so who knows what I'll end up with.
Exactly, yeah. This is not the time where you spend your extra money because you need, in our family, at least, we all go crazy overboard buying gifts for everybody, so.
Yep. So, yeah, that's. I think that sufficiently catches us up in what's going on right now. And I think we can move into our main topic for this week, which I at least, I don't know why I'm talking about it like it's a secret. We announced it at the end of last week. We're talking about the Treehouse of Horror, obviously.
Hello, once again. As usual, I must warn you all that this year's Halloween show is very, very scary. And those of you with young children may want to send them off to bed. Oh, my. It seems the show is so scary that Congress won't even let us show it. Instead, they've suggested the 1947 classic Glenn Ford movie, 200 Miles to Oregon.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust your picture. We are controlling the transmission.
What's that, boy? We're in control? Hey, look! I can see my voice! Blip, 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 blip. This is my voice on TV.
Dad, you're ruining the mood.
Sorry.
For the next half hour, we will control what you see and hear. You are about to experience the terror and foul horror of The Simpsons Halloween Special.
The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, which is just aired its 28th iteration. Was it last weekend or the weekend before? I can't remember, but just aired its 28th iteration in the 29th season because there was none in the inaugural season. And basically, it's just their yearly Halloween special, and they've had the same formula since it started, where it is aping the great horror anthology structure, and it's three segments traditionally based on horror movies or like scary themed things or Halloween themed things. It's always very appropriate for the season. We don't only have a long history with Treehouse of Horror. We just have a long history with The Simpsons in general. And I guess that, I mean, that's where we'll start with this, taking a little trip down memory lane and just talking about, why we love the Treehouse of Horror so much. And I mean, aside from typically being the best or one of the best Simpsons episodes in every season, pretty much still to this day, even with the show, it's not at its high, near at its highest quality. I mean, The Simpsons was a show we used to watch every Sunday with Dad. I mean, it was that and King of the Hill for a while, Futurama for a while. But that Sunday block, we had a lot of fun going in there. Because we didn't watch football really as younger kids. It wasn't until we got into, closer to middle school that started to actually become a legitimate interest. So Sunday nights, once football was over, we'd run in and watch The Simpsons with our dad. And so we've always had, at least this is for me, I'm sure it's the same for you, but always had a very positive relationship with The Simpsons in general.
I mean, yeah, I definitely had a positive relationship with it, but I don't think I started watching The Simpsons around the same time as you. I'm pretty sure I remember getting held out of the family room when The Simpsons would come on, being sent up to my room or sent into the living room. Because I think I was too young when you were starting to get into it. Because even if you were in middle school, I was at most in third grade at that point. So I think I was getting held out because one of the first episodes I remember watching was one of the Treehouse of Horror episodes, which obviously we know that was years after it was aired because we had the special DVD with multiple episodes on it.
That's true. And I mean, that was... I mean, even, I don't have too many, episode-specific memories of, sitting on the couch and watching a new episode with Dad until probably later seasons. I remember watching the 300th episode, because I feel like that was right after the movie, right? Or right before the movie. I think it was right after the movie came out. It was, that next season was the 300th episode.
Yeah, I think it might have honestly been the next episode after the Simpsons movie.
Yeah, they timed it up pretty good. I think that's one of the only episode-specific memories I have of watching it air. But aside from that, there's plenty of episode-specific memories with Treehouse of Horror just because we had. So you know they would always release and they still do this compilation DVDs of a couple episodes of a couple whether it be holiday specials or Simpsons or South Park used to do this a lot too. It'd be the Imagination Land compilation or a bunch of episodes the Butters compilation or something like that.
Yeah.
And they would just put a bunch of episodes together, five or six on a DVD and sell it for 10, 15 bucks for the people who weren't going to buy all the seasons of television. Obviously it makes total sense for holiday specials because sometimes people just want to have the holiday specials to pull out and watch come that time. And they may have released more than one of these, but this is the only one we've ever had and that I've ever seen. You have it right in front of you, right?
Yeah.
So what episode's on it? Because it has a couple in a row and then it jumps for the last one, right?
Yeah. So it has Treehouse of Horror 5, Treehouse of Horror 6, Treehouse of Horror 7, and then Treehouse of Horror 12. So it's got a big skip there. I don't know why they did that, but...
So wait, run those down for me again.
So 5, 6, 7, and 12.
5, 6, 7, and 12. That is a weird compilation, to just jump to 12.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know what? We discussed this earlier. I mean, 12 wasn't necessarily a crazy good episode. It's not viewed super highly, so it's weird that they just threw that one in there rather than going with one of the earlier ones.
My guess, I mean, I don't have the date in front of me of when that came out, but I wouldn't be surprised if that DVD came out right the year after that episode aired, and that was the most recent one.
That would be my guess. I think it was 2001. I can't tell.
That sounds about right. I think that's probably why. It was probably the year after it aired, so they put it on the DVD, and that was how they maybe justified selling it. The air date was 2001 for that episode. So yeah, it was real recent when that DVD came out. So I guess that's why that was on there. But we're not gonna get too in depth with what the segments in each of these episodes were talking about there, because obviously we're gonna get deeper into that in the second part of this. But episode 5, Treehouse of Horror 5, The Shining, Time and Punishment, Nightmare Cafeteria.
The Shining.
The three great segments. I mean, those are three winners. Treehouse of Horror 6 is Attack of the 50-Foot Eyesores, Nightmare on Evergreen Terrace, and Homer 3. Again, three knockout segments.
Yep.
Treehouse of Horror 7 is The Thing and I, The Genesis Tub, and Citizen Kang. Those are all a lot of fun. I don't know if those are three knockouts compared to the first two. I think Citizen Kang plays fun nowadays, especially in the current political climate with the Clinton and Dole jokes and everything.
I think The Thing and I is also a pretty good one, too. I don't think it's on the same level as 5 and 6, but
yeah.
It is a good episode or a good segment.
Mm-hmm. That's basically, yeah, exactly. It's a good one. Yeah, because that's Bart's evil twin, right?
Yep, Hugo.
Yeah, Hugo. That's a good one, obviously. That's probably actually my favorite in that episode. And then the
12. Episode, which
12 is... I have it here.
I got it.
You got it?
Hex right. In the City.
Yep.
House of Wax and mm-hmm. Whiz Kids. And do you know what House of Wax was?
Which one was House of Wax?
That was Smart House.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I like Smart House.
That was a good episode. That was a good segment, that one.
Yes, I like Smart House. I think Smart House is a good one. Or should I say House of Wax? That's a good one for
Wax
sure.
Wax spelled W-H-A-C-K-S.
Yes. I mean, I enjoy Whiz Kids just because it's a Harry Potter segment, which, speaking of, and I'm sure we're going to do this a lot throughout this episode, we talked about this, bringing up other Halloween TV specials we like, and I'm going to bring this one up just because it connects to the Harry Potter segment, and that's you've watched the Key and Peele Halloween episodes, right?
I think so.
Guys, if you have not seen the Key and Peele Halloween episodes, go watch them. You will not be surprised that Jordan Peele went and made the best horror movie in like the last decade. they know the genre very well, but they do the one episode they do a Harry Potter spoof, and it's the inner city school version of Harry Potter, and Keegan has like the Mad Eye Moody Eye, and it's so fucking funny. It's one of my favorite sketches in all of comedy ever. I think it's fucking great. Like, they have a metal detector as they're going into school, and that's where Keegan's Mad Eye Moody type character is. He's looking through everyone's fucking freaking giant chests. He's just pulling things out and acting like the drugs. He's like, wizard powder. Wizard powder. What you gonna do with this? It's an absolute blast, and it's kind of leagues better than the Simpsons version of it, but yeah, so check those out if you've never seen them before. Key and Peele is just perfect. But yeah, the 12th Treehouse of Horror, it's not, I mean, it, I wouldn't put it towards the bottom at all, but it's more of a middling one, which 12, that's kind of where it starts to do that. I feel like 12 through like the mid-20s is where they kind of start to fall off from the Halloween section.
There's a couple skits in there that are pretty good, but yeah, for the most part, they're all pretty weak. I mean, saying they're weak, I'm not saying they're bad, but I think the Treehouse of Horror episodes, you've said this, I think they're the best episodes in every season.
Exactly.
So I don't think any of them are necessarily bad, but obviously some are going to be better than others.
Yeah, and we'll get deeper into those quite soon. But so yeah, this DVD would basically get pulled out at least once every Halloween season, and we'd just sit down and binge through all four episodes.
Yeah, I remember sitting down in the family room with me, you, and Dad, and we'd go through the DVD.
Yeah, and they're all great for the most part. Like we said, except I mean, that last one isn't the last one isn't necessarily a great one, but they're all a lot of fun. The first two are all-timers, two of, if not the two best Treehouse of Horror episodes in the entire series. So, yeah, it was a cool DVD. We'd watch it every year. It was a great thing to get you into the Halloween spirit. And what I always enjoyed about it is, like, I would watch these, and at the time, I knew a lot of the things they were spoofing, But I hadn't seen them. Like, I hadn't seen The Shining. I hadn't seen A Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, I hadn't seen those movies at the time when I was first watching these. But I still got them and understood them and got all the jokes and, like, had a blast with a lot of them. But now, and I'll talk more about this in the back, but going back and revisiting a lot of these as someone who's devoured the horror genre in the last decade of his life, it's a lot of fun. And I have a new appreciation for a lot of these bits as well.
Yeah, I still haven't even seen The Shining or Nightmare on Elm Street. I hate to say it, but I don't know how I've never gotten around to watching it, but I still love those skits.
Yeah, so basically it just became this, like, staple of the holiday in our house. Like, it's not only did we love The Simpsons and it just, like, generally, like, positive towards it, but also us being a big Halloween family with three of our birthdays being in October. It was just like the perfect thing for the season, and it never gets old. I mean, every year I watch as many of them as I can. Now that they're all on the FX app and the All Simpsons or whatever they call it, every Simpsons ever, they have the playlist, and I just go through and watch them all.
Yeah, I mean, before this episode, the past 2 weeks, I went through and watched every single one that they had on there. So, and then I watched. An hour ago, I watched the one that just aired the other day. So I'm all caught up.
Yeah, so am I, which we will definitely, that's definitely going to come up at some point. But actually, my one of my buddies on Twitter, Brandon, he told me the way he watches the Treehouse of Horror series every season is he goes in reverse order. He goes from the newest to the oldest, so he doesn't end on the bad quality, ends on the good quality. And I was like, that is a good idea.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna do that one next year. So it played a big part in the Halloween. Always has been a big part of the Halloween season for us. Pretty much as long as I can remember, because The Simpsons have been around as long as either of us can remember. So it's just one of those staples that's always been there, and these have always been like the highlight of that. So I don't know. Do you have any other specific memories about this that you want to talk about?
Not entirely, honestly. I mean, within like the last 5 years or so, every October, Dad is always They put out the new Treehouse of Horror episode. He's like, it was a good one this year, blah, blah, blah. Like, I always get that from him every October, so that's something cool to look forward to. Because even now, he still enjoys watching them. He records them on the DVR and puts them on.
Oh, yeah, they're a good time. That's why we love these so much, outside of them generally just being really good animation and comedy. So now we're just going to go into basically just talking about how much we love all of this. And we're going to get we found a good way, because obviously there's 28 episodes with three segments a piece. That's a lot of segments to talk about, and we're not going to talk about all of them. So we just figured a good way to kind of center our conversation. And obviously we're going to talk about more than just the ones we picked. But we each picked the top five favorite segments in Treehouse of Horror. And we're going to go pick for pick, starting at five, going up to one, and just kind of just talk about them as we go. And I think this will be a good way to kind of cover a good chunk of these Treehouse of Horrors, and also show our appreciation for a lot of the great bits and sketches and great writing that was on the show for a long time. So do you want to kick us off with your number five, Lucas?
Sure. So my number five... this one I kind of threw in there. Going through watching it, I definitely did enjoy it, but I didn't think it was top five quality. But looking back on it, I do enjoy it. And that's going to have to be the Don't Have a Cow Mankind episode. The episode where Krusty, the Krusty Burger, introduces a new burger from cows that have eaten other cows. And it ends up turning everybody in the town into a zombie.
I forgot about this bit. This is a fun one. I enjoy this one.
Yeah, and then the one day Bart, he's tired of eating fruit, and he's looking out the window, and he sees at the Krusty Burger, one burger sitting on the counter, so he runs over and grabs it, and he brings it back into his room, and his mom comes in as he's finishing it, and they lock him away, until they realize he's not turning into a zombie, so then he becomes the chosen one, and everyone's got to protect him, which is kind of funny. At one point, they sacrifice Apu to keep him alive.
Oh, that's a good segment, and I actually enjoy that episode because that has the "there's no business like Mo business," which is a riff on Sweeney Todd. But yeah, no, that's a fun one. I like when they do zombies in their bits. They generally do a good job with their zombie storylines.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's solid number five, and not one I expected to hear on this.
Yeah. I definitely did enjoy that one, and kind of like trying to put a number on each of them. I was kind of like going through looking at all, and I was like, well, I did enjoy this one a lot, so might as well put it in there.
Yeah, it's a good one. And that one is, I think that one's the one that's kind of spoofing on 28 Days Later, which is a good time. Pretty solid episode. I don't think I'd put it near the top, but that's as far as some of the little bit later ones go, because that's Treehouse of Horror 20.
Yeah,
that episode. That's a good one for the later ones.
October 18th, 2009 was the original air date of that episode.
Oh, wow.
I think that's, that's one of the latest ones I got.
My number five is a later one. It's about as late of the one as you could get because I'm kind of going out of left field in this one. And my number five pick is the Coralisa segment from the latest Treehouse of Horror, number 28.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not. But so I want to get into the new episode in general here and talk about all three segments for a lot of reasons. But specifically, we'll start with Coralisa, which is the middle of the three. It's a great spoof on Neil Gaiman's Coraline. That also happens to do some of the coolest things that The Simpsons have done with their animation. In the series when she goes through the portal into the other world with her other family. And it's just, I mean, it's a great silly little run on it. That just makes total sense once you think about it, because they have the cat and then the cat can talk. And then she goes through, and as soon as she goes through, the entire family follows them through, and then they go through, and then they ruin everything on the other side. it's a great Simpsons bit. It's a great riff on Coraline. They even like ape the music, which is a ton of fun. And it's visually striking, which is great for any type of animation. And it's well written. I had a lot of fun with this one. And not to mention that this new one scores. They get back to form in the latest, where it's three segments based all in like horror or genre themes, and keeping it generally spooky. And yeah, that was a good one. But overall, I thought this episode was really good. I don't know about you.
So before you keep going on, my number four was Homer, which is another bit from that episode.
Perfect. All right, that's perfect, because that's exactly where I want to go next. So Homer is the final of the three. The first one is The Exorcist, which is them finally doing an Exorcist riff, which is also a lot of fun. And I like the Exorcist riff with Maggie because it carries over in the next two segments when she just keeps violently vomiting. that works really well. Homer is... It's kind of a fucked up segment.
It is. It definitely is. But it had me laughing. I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it.
You know what? It's perfect. And it's when you kind of step back and look at it, it almost seems so obvious that it's amazing they haven't done it yet, because it's so simple that Homer gets left alone for the weekend and he eats all the food in the house within like a few hours, and he's so lazy and doesn't want to go shopping, he resorts to just eating himself.
Well, I mean, it started out, he finds a hot dog in the freezer and he goes to cook it, and he's trying to slice it in half and it's frozen solid, so he slices his finger off trying to do that, and it lands on the grill. And you know Homer, and if anything's cooking and he smells it, he starts savoring and his mouth starts watering. So he ate it, and he goes, the one line, and he goes, well, I eat more than a pig and I do less exercise, so I guess the math works out.
That was a great line. And I do, like, it's a good, like, this is a good episode, this new one. And if people, like, everyone should go out and check it out immediately if you haven't seen it yet, because these are three really strong segments. Closing with like Homer is a great segment, and it's like I said, it's kind of one of their more fucked up ones. It's Homer eating himself, because yeah, once he eats his finger, it's just kind of him slowly eating all the rest of himself. Like, they do a great montage of him just cooking different parts of his body and slowly getting thinner and less limbs. And it's, I like when he goes over to Flanders and Flanders is like, have you been eating the forbidden fruit? And he just,
goes, fruit?
Yeah. It's a very well-written and clever segment, an episode in general.
I like that they tossed Mario Batali in this episode too, and they had his orange Crocs in it and his vest. And that's something that's Mario Batali has been coming up a lot for me recently, because I've been following Action Bronson, who's best friends with Mario Batali.
No, and that just seems like a match made.
So I keep seeing him, and then like all of a sudden he pops up in the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, and it was just even funnier.
So yeah, that was, it's a shockingly good episode. I did not see it coming. I was told there was a Coraline bit before I saw it, so I went in like, oh, you're going to do Coraline. So like, I was expecting a lot, and I think they delivered. It's a good episode. It's their best in a while, that's for sure. So definitely go and take the time to check that out. They did a really good job this year, and I hope, if they're going to keep this show going, I hope this is at least a sign to come that Treehouse of Horror they're going to take seriously. And they always do. We've mentioned how year in and year out, this is typically one of, if not their best episodes of the season. But it's nice to see them get back to original form and do three horror segments and really give their A game. Cause like, this is good writing. This is good comedy, good joke writing. They really nailed this year's Treehouse of Horror. So go check out Treehouse of Horror 28 if you haven't yet. And I specifically, Coralisa is a good bit. Lucas loves, we both love Homer. It's good app. Check it out.
Yeah. It's on Hulu for the new one.
For sure.
For those who didn't know. Oh, yeah. Also on FX. Well, the new one is not on FX now, but all the rest of them are.
Yeah. All right. So, because your number four was Homer, so we're going to jump over to mine, which is, I feel like this is a, actually, I'm going to do a flip-flop here because this one should be up one higher. But this other one is also a pretty classic one, and I don't think you'll be that surprised it's on my list either. It's Terror at 5.5 feet, which is the bus. It's the school bus with the gremlin on the side of the school bus. Come on. This is a gremlin on the side of the school bus. It's riffing. I mean, it's riffing on more than on Gremlins on the one segment from the Twilight Zone movie where there's a gremlin on the wing of the plane and no one believes him. But that has also been cited as a precursor to Gremlins in ways. So it's kind of riffing on both, but it's one of those great Bart segments where Bart being a total shithead leads to him getting into bad things because no one will believe him or take him seriously. It's good. It's got I always forget what's the bus driver's name.
Oh my god, I just had it in my mind.
God damn it.
Oh man, that one just slipped out real quick.
It's right there too. Yeah. Oh, well. But you get the bus driver, who's a great character, and you get him involved in one of the bits. It's a spoof on some movies and things I love. It's a little mini creature feature. And it just works. And there's good jokes, like when at one point the bus driver, Bart's screaming, and the bus driver's like, what is it? There's a gremlin on the side of the bus. And he looks out the window, and it's one of the old characters driving a little gremlin. And he goes, oh, I'll take care of it. And he runs him off the road. It's such a good little bit. I love it. It's a classic episode, or classic segment.
His name's Otto, by the way.
Otto, there. That's it. Obviously, God.
But the one part from that episode, or the one part from that segment, I really like is he's they're like all looking over there, and they're all like in the back of the bus looking out the window, and all of a sudden Otto pops up next to Bart, and he's like, whoa, man, look at that. And these are just like, who's driving the bus?
Classic bits. Oh, it's so good. And so it's from Treehouse of Horror 4, which is season 5. 93, I was 2 years old when this episode aired. Lucas was not born yet. But I want to talk, because this episode in general, I think, is my number one Treehouse of Horror episode from start to finish. It's the one where Bart introduces the three segments, Alfred Hitchcock style, with the paintings. And you get the devil in Homer Simpson, which is the evil donut, which leads to one of my favorite gags in all of Treehouse of Horror at the very end when he's eating himself. And he's about to leave, and Lisa goes, I don't think you should go outside. And, like, your first thought is, oh, there's going to be a bunch of, like, birds outside waiting to eat him as he walks outside. And it cuts outside, and nope, it's just Chief Wiggum and the entire Springfield police force. And Wiggum goes, don't worry, guys, he's got to come out sometime. It's one of my favorite bits. It's because it's a dad joke. It's a hardcore dad joke.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so funny.
I love the classic Homer joke in the middle of the episode where he wakes up and he's down looking in the fridge for a midnight snack and he's half asleep and he sees the donut with, it's got all the signs on it, do not eat, cursed donut, forbidden donut, and he picks it up, he goes, forbidden donut. He just pops it in his mouth.
It is so good. Especially after, like, right, because right before there's the beginning where he thinks he's outsmarted the devil by not eating the last piece of the donut. it's a great segment. I love it. It was very close to making this list, even though it did not. Or actually, oh shit, it may have made my list. And then, but whatever, we talked about it. It's actually number two on my list. I love Evil Donut mostly because of that bit. But then it closes with Bart Simpson's Dracula, which is another really awesome segment where they're obviously riffing Dracula, and it's Mr. Burns playing Dracula. And it's a good little, like, haunted house story with them going to dinner at the Burns residence. It's just kind of classic, and the episode in general just owns. I don't know. I always loved it because the wraparound with Bart introducing each segment I thought was really fun. And it, to me, that was like when we would pop the DVD on, that opening was the one that made me the most feel like Halloween with Bart introducing each segment like that.
I love the first few Treehouse of Horrors. There's always a skit with Mr. Burns being some evil guy, whether it be a Dracula or whatever, like he's always viewed as the bad guy, and I just love that. I love how it was just common. There was always like one segment where it had Mr. Burns being that main like antagonist.
So I'm gonna flip that. Actually, that Evil Donut's gonna be my number three. I'm flipping my three and two now that I relook at it. So you give me, so we're kind of changing up our order here and what we're saying, but give me your number three now, and then I'll give my new number two.
All right, so my number three was Reaper Madness.
Reaper Madness. Okay, remind me which one this is.
So this is the one where the Grim Reaper shows up at the door to come kill Bart. And so they start out the episode in a classic like Scooby-Doo-esque chase where they're all running in throughout the doors. With the songs playing, and they're all popping in and out all over the place. But he's chasing him around the house, and eventually Homer kills him by throwing a bowling ball at his head and cracking his skull. So he ends up killing the Grim Reaper. And for like 2 weeks, they go on without any death. So it cuts to a scene with the mob, and they're shooting Johnny Squealer or whatever. And they're like, why won't you die? And he was like, trust me, if I knew, I'd tell you. But then it cuts to Marge yelling at Homer. She's like, why don't you, because he's still sitting there with death in his bones next to him, chilling on the couch watching TV with him. And she goes, well, it's garbage day. Why don't you throw him or take him out? And he's like, all right. So he goes out to the garbage and throws his bones away, and he's still got the cloak in his hands, and he rubs it on his face. He's like, oh, this is soft. So he tosses it on, and he becomes death. And he's running around the whole town killing everybody.
Yeah, that's the best part of the bit, is he's not killing who he's supposed to kill. He's just going around killing whoever he feels like killing instead.
But it starts out with, like, the first kill, I think, is on one of the old folks. Yeah. The one guy with the long beard. And he comes in and he goes, who are you? He goes, I'm Death. He goes, what happened to the old guy? What happened to Doug? He's like, I like Doug.
That was a good...
But then they're at the baseball game, Bart and Homer, and he goes, Dad, I can't see anything. You got shitty seats. And he's like, I'll take care of this. And he starts walking down. He goes, excuse me, pardon me. And he's tapping everybody with his dead hand and killing everyone as they walk down to the first row. And he goes, Dad, were all those people on the list? He goes, I don't know.
Exactly. And then obviously the pinnacle of that one is when Marge is the name on his list. And he throws, I can't remember which one, but he throws Patty or Selma. He kills them instead and tries to trick him into thinking that's yeah, Marge.
Because he glued her hair to their head.
You know, another pretty decent episode. This is, which one is this? This is Treehouse of Horror 14.
Yep.
Reaper Madness is what kicked it off. Yeah, and that's a good one. Frankenstein in the Middle isn't too great.
Not the best.
But the final one, Stop the World, I Want to Goof Off, where Bart and Milhouse get the stopwatch that freezes time.
This one I did like.
This one is a lot of fun. I enjoyed this one a lot because I just like the way it ends when they finally fix the watch and it's been 15 years. And they're just like, why is Bart so big?
And Shaggy.
Get all this stuff. Yeah, where do you get all this stuff? And Lisa's just like, clearly he's messing with time, with the space-time continuum. And then Bart just gives her the watch at the end of it all. Great little bit. I enjoyed that episode. That's a good one. And another pick I did not expect on this list. So kudos to you. Do you want to go to my new number two now?
Sure, why not?
My list has gone all over the place. All right, this is my one and two.
I bet you we have the same one and two.
We'll see, because I think they're pretty obvious for me, but I don't know if they'll be the ones you have. So my number two is Nightmare on Evergreen Terrace.
That's my number one.
Oh, so our one and two are probably flip-flop.
That is my favorite skit throughout all of the Treehouse of Horror, and I've never even seen a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, okay. But I don't know when. I remember watching that on the DVD growing up, and that was always my favorite skit because when I first started watching it, Will used to scare the crap out of me. The one scene where he becomes a lawnmower and he chases Bart and he goes into the sandbox and then turns into a giant bagpipe spider.
Yeah, well, and I think this is going to speak for, and especially if our other one is the same, for these where, so one of my favorite things with, and I think they stopped doing this in the later episodes, but when it first started is every episode was introed with the, like, warning, either Marge coming out on stage, yep, or Homer, but warning everyone that's going to be a scary, spooky episode.
You might want to tuck your kids to bed early tonight.
And this is one of the few segments that actually justified that if you had young kids, because Willy, like, they're actually giving him some intense imagery that for a young kid could actually creep him out.
And he's the elementary school, so the whole premise is he's the elementary school janitor, obviously, and he dies at a parent-teacher conference one night when Homer turns the furnace all the way up and he sets on fire.
Yeah.
So he makes like a curse or whatever that he's going to haunt all the kids of the school. And it's like a little-known myth or whatever, and they won't tell anyone until he starts killing all the kids in the school.
Yeah, I mean, it's because this is funny because you haven't seen A Nightmare on Elm Street, but it's directly riffing the movie. I mean, he's Freddy Krueger. He got killed. I mean, he didn't get killed by the parents like Freddy Krueger did, but
yeah,
he dies because of a parent. And let's talk about this. So this is why this sketch, one of the reasons this sketch is also all time great. I fucking love it. One of the best jokes. So when, I can't remember who it is, but the one kid gets killed at school that day. He dies in his dream. And because that's what it is, Willie kills you in your dreams. But
yeah,
they go home and they go, Mom, what's his face? Died at school today. And she goes, oh, that's horrible. But I don't see what that has to do with Groundskeeper Willie. And they're just like, we didn't say anything about Groundskeeper Willie, which goes to that, to her now telling the story of what happened to Groundskeeper Willie. And it gives us one of the greatest Simpsons lines of all time, when it was the 13th hour of the 13th day of the 13th month. And then and then we were meeting at a PTA conference to talk about last year's calendar release. And it's the calendar that says Smarch, and Homer walks in and goes, "Lousy Smarch weather."
And he turns out that's when he cranks up the furnace.
And that's my And Lousy Smarch weather alone is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
But the joke right after is my favorite, because he walks up to the furnace and there's a sign above it that says, "Don't touch Willie." He goes, "Don't touch Willie. Huh, good advice." And then he turns up the heat. And why I love that joke is because, even though it was never explicitly stated in the original Nightmare on Elm Street movies, he was always called the child murderer. It was kind of implied that he was a child molester. But I just like that, like, "Don't touch Willie." And he reads it as a warning to not touch Willie, the person. And he goes, "Oh, good advice." And then turns the heater all the way up. And then, yeah, he gets killed the first. And it's just, it's a great Nightmare on Elm Street spoof in general. And it's really good. It's done really well. And it respects the source material. And it's great. It's creepy and it's hilarious. It does what the best of these segments do best.
Yeah, that's by far my favorite one. But that, yeah, I mean, this episode is probably my favorite episode. I don't know about you. Do you remember what other segments are in this one?
Yes, let's talk about the, because yeah, neither of these two are my number one. So we can talk about both.
It's the first one is Attack of the 50-Foot Eyesores, in which the episode starts out with Homer going into the Lard Lad Donuts, which has the guy with the holding up the giant donut as like their advertisement for the sign, and he's like, "I'll take a colossal donut," and they just hand him like a tiny little donut, and he's like, "What the hell is this?" And he wants the giant sign, and they're like, "We can't do that." So he comes back later in the night and steals the donut, and it sparks all of the signs and billboards to become lifelike, because they get like electrocuted, and the Lard Lad guy comes and steals the donut back from Homer, and they just go on a giant murder spree throughout the whole city. And it kind of is like a Ghostbusters riff with the Marshmallow Man.
It's a total just monster movie riff in general, and that's part of why I love it so much, because it's just like riffing on the giant monster movies of giant monsters or whatever they are wreaking havoc on a city. And this one did come close to making my list, because it is a lot of fun. It has another one of my favorite gags, when the officers where Wiggum shoots the really tall guy. And the two officers right was like, "Chief, that was the captain of the high school basketball team."
Oh yeah, he walks out of the men's big and tall store.
Yeah, he's like 8 feet tall. He just shoots him dead. I love it. It's a great gag. It's a good segment. It's riffing on like 50s and 60s sci-fi movies as well, like Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, things like that. And it's another one that has a good hook. Like, that's another thing with some of these is, like, some of these segments fizzle out in the last, like, minute of it, where, like, when they get to where it's all coming to, it's not really – you don't care that much.
No.
Which is fine. Like, one of those specifically in a later episode, which I actually thought was pretty funny up until it kind of came to its conclusion and it kind of wrapped up in a dull way, they riffed on the Paranormal Activity movies. Do you remember this one?
Yep.
And, well, it's funny at first when, like, they're going through the house at night, and Homer, my thing that got me crying is when Homer falls down the stairs. He falls down
with
the
camera?
No, and as he's falling, he goes, "Oh, no, we have stairs." And then he just keeps falling, and he just keeps falling and falling and falling. I was cracking up. It was because that was a great joke on the source material as well. But that one kind of fizzles out in the end, and it didn't end. Because if that one had ended strong, that could have honestly made
that
could have
been a
my
good
list.
One. Yeah, and the one joke, Marge is just standing at the bed, and he, like, wakes up, and he's like, "Marge, what are you doing?" And she kind of, like, mumbles. She's like, "Rrr." And he's like, "Oh, I like it when you don't talk." And he's like, like, basically, like, making out with Marge, and she's just, like, possessed standing there. And that's just another good little joke.
It's good. But But it, so Attack of the 50 Foot Eyesores, I like where it wraps up when Lisa's like, you just have to ignore them. And
yeah, the advertising company they contact, and they're like, you just have to ignore them. And the lard lad's the last guy, and Homer's the last person staring at him.
He just can't stop. It's good. And then obviously the second one is Nightmare on Evergreen Terrace, which fucking rules.
Yep.
And then, so you want to tell us what the third one is?
So that's Homer Cubed. The one where Patty and Selma come to visit, so they all try and find a hiding spot, and all of them are taken up by the kids, and Homer goes behind a bookcase and enters a mysterious new world, which is a 3D world. And it's just like it's a grid with like a bunch of stuff tossed in there, and they can all hear him, and they get like, they first bring in the doctor, Dr. Hibbert, and then they bring in the Reverend, and like they have all these people coming in, and then they go, Marge goes, I'll get Ned, he has a ladder. She goes and gets Flanders, and he comes over with a ladder, and he's up on the top of the ladder at like the roof or the ceiling in the living room, and she goes, he's like looking around, and he goes, nope, I can't see him here.
It's a great segment, and it's having fun with like the sci-fi elements of it. You get to see Homer in 3D. That's probably the first time.
West Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh, I love the ending where he goes into West Hollywood. And he's just walking down the street, and like everyone's looking at him, and he's all scared. And then he finds the exotic or the erotic cake store, and he just walks in, and it just pans up like a sitcom, and plays the closing credits and music, and that's it. That's the end of the episode. It's a perfect closer. And I mean, this is an iconic segment as well because of 3D Homer. Most people remember this one. It's pretty memorable. Like, I mean, overall, the episode is fantastic. There really is no like overselling it or anything. Treehouse of Horror 6 is one of the all timers. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think it's, I mean, for me, it's my clear number one.
All right, so give me your number two, and let's see if it matches my number one.
I mean, my number two is clear, The Shining.
The Shining? Yeah, 100% my number one. It's perfect. It really, like, so, I mean, you haven't even seen The Shining yet. I saw this long before I saw The Shining.
Treehouse of Horror 5, 1994.
What is there not to say? Like, it's perfect. It really is. It's a perfect segment. It is a perfect spoof of the movie. Having seen it now, it really, I mean, it's kind of even taking it beat for beat, but it does it so good. It's just one of those great storylines that just, it translates perfectly to a Simpsons storyline, where if you sent them to this hotel and you didn't give Homer beer or TV, this is what would happen. No beer, no TV, make Homer go crazy. I love it. It's so good. And then I love him going around, like when he goes to do the Here's Johnny bit, and he just keeps breaking open doors to empty rooms, and like, just keeps giving different one-liners. I mean, my favorite part of this segment might be when Marge first realizes he's going crazy, and he just starts doing all of his crazy faces.
Yeah, yep. That is a great one.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's great visual comedy in an animation show.
That's another segment where Groundskeeper Willie makes an appearance, because he's the groundskeeper on the mansion.
Yep, and playing that Scatman Crothers character.
And he's basically the whole solution if you think about it, because Bart can read his thoughts or whatever and contact him through that, and then he comes over to try and save him, and he runs out of his cabin in his jammies holding his portable TV.
It's perfect. I love it. I mean, that's a perfect, like, again, that's another one where that is perfectly aping the source material in that character, and because that's The Shining, when obviously, and this is The Shining. And that's another great little bit. When Bart first meets him, and he's like, you got The Shining. He goes, don't you mean The Shining? He goes, shh, do you want to get sued? So they keep calling it The Shining, and he calls him with, just like in the movie, he calls him with The Shining when things get real bad. But the fun subversion in this is when he shows up and Homer just immediately stabs him in the back with an axe and kills him. And he offers absolutely no help to the problem or the solution. And it obviously wraps up. It wraps up perfectly in a perfect way because, like you said, he runs out with his portable TV and he drops it in the snow. And as Homer chases them out into the snow, he finds the TV. And, like, that's one of my favorite parts of the segment is when he sits down with it and he's just like, urge to kill. What is it? Urge to kill. Going away. Way. Gone. And then they all just sit around and watch TV.
Rising. Rising.
Oh, yeah. Like falling. Falling. Gone. And yeah, that was it's when the what comes on? Is it the news?
I don't even remember.
I can't remember the program that comes on is, and that's when he starts to go rising, rising, and that's the end of the bit. It's a great segment. Obviously, we don't need to walk everyone through this. Anyone who's familiar with Simpsons Treehouse of Horror is more than familiar with this one. And again, part of more or less, I mean, an all-timer as far as episodes go with Time and Punishment and Nightmare Cafeteria as well. Nightmare Cafeteria is another one that came pretty close to making my list as well. I'm a big fan of that one. But
yeah, Nightmare Cafeteria is a very good one where Skinner starts killing the kids and putting them in the lunch.
Yeah, exactly. It's all around great segment or great episode. They really did it right early on. Like those first, I mean, I'll say the first 12 up through that one are all legitimately, I think, pretty great. And then after that, there are some here and there they nail it, whether it be a segment or two in each episode, or like I said, the new. Obviously, I'm very impressed with the latest one, and I'm a big fan. Are there any specific segments you wanted to talk about, like some honorable mentions?
So one of the ones from one of the recent episodes is, I want to say it's called Dry Hard, which I was watching earlier and you didn't recognize that episode. That's the episode where, well, Dry Hard is specifically the segment that is kind of parodying the Hunger Games / Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, that's fun.
Because Lisa's in the Hunger Games, and then Barney is technically like the in the Mad Max, like he's the first part of it. He comes in his snowplow, and he puts Ned Flanders' head on the stake in front of him, and he comes crashing into the dome and gets all the kids out.
That's fun. For some reason that one, I mean, I'll be honest, when I was watching some of the later ones, there were times where I clocked out a little bit and wasn't paying full attention, so it probably just kind of went past me.
Because this is last year's episode.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm surprised I don't remember it. Maybe I just wasn't, was that the last segment? I may not have actually.
No, that was the first segment. The last segment is another good one. That is the Kingsman. It's Mofinger. It starts out where Milhouse is getting chased by the bullies it's Bart. He's getting chased by the older bullies, and he gets chased into Mo's back room, and Mo locks the door, and he beats the shit out of all the bullies. And then he finds out that Mo's like a Kingsman, and his dad was like a secret Kingsman, and
you know,
murdered.
I'm gonna revisit this one as soon as we're done with this. So if you guys are interested, like in specific episodes, just like want to know which episodes have which segments, Nerdist did a really Lucas found this. They ranked all 28 of them. So this must have just come out recently because it has the new one in it.
It does.
I'll throw the link up on our Twitter. So if you're interested, it's a good breakdown of like simple, not too long, pretty concise breakdown of each episode that can get you there. He had it on his list up at 11. So I'm gonna go. I gotta go back and revisit this one because I must have just not been paying attention when I had it on and been doing something else. Because those do sound fun, even though like that was one of the things that keep some of the later ones from being great is they do stray from doing just like Halloween appropriate like themes for. They did for a while. They just kind of became parody episodes. It's like, oh, what can we parody that's like the new most popular thing in genre, whether it's like Halloween-y or not. Like they did a Mr. and Mrs. Smith one at one point, which is like, this has nothing to do with Halloween. I don't know why this isn't a Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah.
But that's about as bad as it gets, really. And even some of those are pretty good. I mean, like you said, that last, you had Hunger Games, Mad Max, stuff like that. It's not necessarily Kingsman and James Bond. Like, these aren't Halloween-y things, but if you do it good, you do it good. And that's really all that matters. I have a bunch I could talk about, but one of the ones I enjoy it because I think it's just a fun retelling of some Edgar Allan Poe. I like when they do The Raven.
Yeah. That is, I mean, that's just a classic storyline.
Yeah, and I like that they just kind of were like, fuck it. Like, yeah, they throw a few jokes and jabs in there, but they're like, let's just tell The Raven and use the animation to do most of the jokes and, like, and tone and, like, infliction and how they're telling and how they're reading it. So I've always been a fan of that one. I think that's a cool bit. I already talked about Nightmare. We already talked about Nightmare Cafeteria, so I don't have to bring that one up. I don't know. You got any other ones?
I mean, do you have any Treehouse of Horror introduction, the couch scenes that you have like locked in your head that you really liked?
I really wish I did. I thought about this too. I was like, I wish I had actually, I had like paid more attention to the beginning. It was like the only one that really sticks out in my mind because it's pretty fresh is the beginning to, of Six? No, not Six. Jesus, why am I already forgetting it?
Four.
Four, yeah, exactly. The one where they all come out of the ground as zombies.
Yeah.
And get onto the couch. You got a couple?
The one that's I'm thinking of. This episode, honestly, in whole, I like. It's ranked on Nerdist at 12, but the intro is The Office. Yes. It's the monster's office, and it like cuts to Frankenstein, and he was like, "I go watch The Office, just like Monster's workplace," and it's just the whole Office parody. The whole intro to The Office is basically all monsters, like universal monsters. It cuts to a mummy, and he's shredding paper, and his wrap gets caught in the shredder, and he just keeps shredding until he's completely unraveled. Just like some little gags like that, and that one I just had fun with, because obviously, like, I love The Office. It was a good, great
show.
That
was a good one. That one I do remember. That one stood out. That was a fun one. I very much enjoyed that.
But that episode, that's actually 2010, the episode, but it had the War and Pieces, the Master and Cadaver episode, or segment, where Homer and Marge rent a boat for, like, a second honeymoon, and a man shows up on a boat, or he shows up like floating in the water, and Homer hooks him. He's got like a really long captain's hook, and he's like fishing around in his mouth, and he's like, "Nope, hold on, wait, hold on, nope." And he just grabs, he's like, "There we go," and he yanks him up onto the ship. And that's the whole story where they think the guy like poisoned the ship he was on, and so they try and get rid of him off of their boat. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, no, I do remember this one. That one was fun. I think I did. I remember watching. Yeah, because this is one of the later ones. I do remember watching. I think I might have watched this one twice because I didn't finish it. Because I remember watching The Office opening more than once.
Yeah, and then that has the Twilight one, or Tweenlight is what it's called. Yeah. Where there's that's actually the kid who plays the vampire is. Daniel Radcliffe, I'm pretty sure.
That's right. That's right. That's it. It's a fun one. I always like when they get. Simpsons has always gotten great guest voices for the show, obviously. So that's no surprise there. But I do like when they do that, and that was a good one for sure. I'm trying to think what other. There's definitely. I like the Monkey Paw.
One of the original episodes.
Yeah, that's from 2. Because that's when they all get cursed. It's just it Yeah, it's good comedy. I mean, these are, like I said, these are earlier ones, so these are all fairly iconic. So I think people are pretty familiar with those. In the end, I'm happy that this year, like you said, you liked last year's a lot. I'm going to revisit it. I like that they got back on track. Oh, this is the one I wanted to talk about. They did in Trials of Horror 19, which isn't necessarily one of their great ones, they finally tackle the Great Pumpkin, which seemed like something they should have done a while ago. I liked it. I thought they did a really good job with it. And it's unfortunately buried in an episode that isn't all around great, but that segment is very well done, and it was good to see them finally go back or finally do that, I should say, because it seemed like a no-brainer early on that they would do a Great Pumpkin parody. So that was a fun one. I'm trying to remember the name of the other one that I really liked, but it's when they finally it might be the Peanuts one where they go trick-or-treating and the one lady goes, "We don't do Halloween." And so they decide to do tricks instead, and they go out and do tricks the whole night instead of treats. And that isn't the Peanuts one. I'm trying to remember what it's from. And I can't even remember what the segment's called, but it was, I thought that was a fun one, and just because it was like, how can we go like a throwback Halloween? And that's kind of what they were implying that they were doing. I wish I could remember the name or which one it was from. But that one stuck out to me. In general, I think, unless you got any other specific segments or anything, obviously Kang, we didn't talk much about them, but Kang and Kodos showing up throughout Treehouse of Horror is always great.
They're iconic to the Treehouse of Horror.
I pretty much love every time they show up, except the only one that later on, they're not great. I didn't love the E.T. Segment in the one with was it Kodos or is it Kang? I can't remember.
I don't know.
And Bart. I thought that one kind of felt flat. But for the most part, I mean, whether they're just showing up in like the closing sting or the opening sting, like they're always a welcome sight and they're a lot of fun. So Kang and Kodos are definitely a staple of the Treehouse of Horror, and you can't get through an episode of talking about it without mentioning them. I think that about wraps up our conversation on Treehouse of Horror, unless you have anything else you want to say.
I don't think so. I think that's about it.
Obviously, Simpsons is massive. They're in their 29th season, going on their 30th. So all of you are probably very familiar with a lot of these. If you're not, what are you doing? I think they're the best Halloween TV specials that are out there, especially now that they've returned to form this year and done another really good one. I put them right back up in the pantheon as one of, if not the best. Should we take a quick like 5 minutes just to like give some honorable mentions and some recommendations to other TV specials you should go and check out? We don't have to go in depth on anything, just like the other ones we really like.
Yeah, of course.
All right, you go first.
I mean, if you're thinking Halloween specials, I want to take this one, even though you probably wanted to talk about it, but the Brooklyn Nine-Nine Halloween specials are always like some of the best.
Oh yeah, I expected Halloween specials ever. To pick this one. This, they're great.
It's always so. Basically, what happens is Andy Samberg, who's a detective, he's got a feud with the captain, right? Is that what he is?
Yep.
The captain, where they basically gotta have like a heist mission to see who can, what is it? They like take a.
Yeah, every year Jake and the captain make a bet that Jake can't steal something personal to the captain.
Yes.
And the stakes are usually just doing paperwork and free overtime, and the other person having to admit that the other is an amazing detective / genius.
Yep.
I remember when I first started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine and I got to the first Halloween episode, and it immediately cleared. I was like, this is a perfect show for a Halloween episode because Halloween must be nuts, especially in a city like Brooklyn, for the police. So I thought it was a great way to tap into that, and then them turning it into a running gag every year. And unfortunately, neither of us have gotten to watch this year's and see where they go with it.
No.
But They're 4-0 now, right? Without this year's, or was this the fourth or the fifth?
I don't know.
I can't remember what season. I think this might have been the fourth this year. But I think they are the best currently running Halloween episode. They're in five, so they just did their fifth. Okay. Cool. So yeah, they got five out there now, and they're one. If you're not watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's so funny. Holy shit! And it is the. I mean. It's the only consistently good show in that Sunday block of comedy on Fox. Although when Last Man on Earth is there,
Last Man has been very good. Yeah,
I always forget that's a Sunday night show too. Actually, Brooklyn Nine-Nine might not even be Sunday anymore. I think they moved it off last season.
I don't know.
It's like a Tuesday show.
I
know.
I watch everything on Hulu.
Exactly. We don't watch anything that airs. But yeah, 100%. Check out the Brooklyn Nine-Nine Halloween episodes. They crush it every year. My first honorable mention has to go to one of my all-time favorite shows, who they didn't do them every season, but when they got to do them, I thought they were always great. It's even like the best episode in the horrible season they had, and that's Community, Dan Harmon's show that ran for a while on NBC and had the threat of cancellation every year. I think they do like four Halloween episodes, the first four seasons. And although the fourth season is a total waste and pretty much is terrible, the Halloween episode is actually decently fun. But they have one of my favorite all-time Halloween specials with Epidemiology, with this is the zombie one.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking too.
it's great. It's phenomenal.
They just had the music blasting the whole time.
ABBA. and it has one of my favorite riffs on Alien, with the cat, when it's Jeff, Troy, and Abed, and they're in the one dark room walking through, and basically the cat just keeps jumping and meowing like five or six times straight until Joel McHale finally flips out. It's like, "Will somebody do something about that damn cat?" And it's a great riff on Alien. With Jones and Ripley and all that jazz. So I don't know. There's a lot to love in that episode, obviously, as is with all their Halloween specials. So check those out. It's another great show. Yeah, obviously just giving some quick shout-outs to these. You got any others?
Nothing I can think of off the top of my head. I'm really tired right now.
Yeah, it's late, guys. It's currently 2:30 in the morning. We're finishing this up. This is a late recording. This is the last one I wanted to give some shouts to is Bob's Burgers. Again, they don't do it every season, but when they do them, they're fucking great.
The Bob's Burgers, any holiday episode for Bob's Burgers mm-hmm. is fantastic. The Easter one with the eggs was great. The Christmas one with the candy cane truck.
All of the Christmas ones are great. But my favorite Halloween one is King's Head Island, full bars.
Oh yes,
that's
King's
where you
Head
get
Island.
That's where you get Louise Boucher Scissorhands, Tina dressed up as a mummy, who's a mom and a mommy and a mummy. it's fucking that's a good episode of television right there. Appropriate too, just talking about Bob's Burgers and the Simpsons episode because they're getting a movie now too, and I cannot fucking wait for that. So deserved.
That'll be very fun.
Yeah, just want to give you guys a quick shout out to those if you're looking for some other specials to check out. Obviously, we're bringing this in under the wire because it's coming out on Halloween. But you can keep note and watch them next year or just watch them anytime. All right, so yeah, we totally forgot to tell you guys what we're going to be talking about next week. So here's a little add-on at the end of the episode to do that. As you all know, the first episode was my turn, and I went with Treehouse of Horror. So this week, it is Lucas's turn to pick what we will be talking about 2 weeks from now on the... What's going to be the date in 2 weeks? The
13th? 14th, okay.
Tuesday. We'll be talking on the 13th. It'll come out on the 14th.
All right.
I have no idea what he's got in store for me. I thought it might be something, but I was just told it won't be that. So, Lucas, what are we talking about
so,
in the third episode of Tales from the Bunk Bed?
A few ideas bounced around in my head, but I don't know. This one really stuck around just because we talked about it the other day, and it spent a lot of time in the DVD player and on the TV at home. So I'm deciding with next week's episode, we are going to do Jimmy Neutron, both the movie and the TV show.
Oh, yes. I fucking love it.
So we got Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, the movie, and then, of course, I think, was it The Adventures of Jimmy Neutron was the TV show?
Yeah, guys, this is going to be fucking great. I'm excited. This is going to be fun. We got to try and find a place to watch the show. Hopefully it's on one of the streaming services.
I think, if I remember correctly, I think it's on Hulu.
That would be perfect. And obviously we own the movie, so that'll be an easy one to get off to get in the DVD player and check out again. Man, we did watch that one a lot. That's a good pick.
That's a fun one to go back to for sure.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. I'm excited about that. All right, so everybody look forward to Jimmy Neutron next week. Man, this is definitely a millennial show.
I'm sorry if anyone's a little too old that they missed the Jimmy Neutron train, because you missed a lot of fun.
Yep, you did.
Try and revisit it before next week if you haven't watched it, or even if you have, just revisit it. But I'm pretty sure it's on Hulu. If not,
I feel like this is going to be an amusing episode. I feel like this will be an amusing episode to listen to if you have never watched the show or movie at all, because just hearing what we're going to be talking about, you're going to be like, what the fuck? So, yeah, good pick. That's going to be, it's going to be a fun one. I look forward to prepping for this one, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that about does it for this episode, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, everybody. This has been Tales from the Bunk Bed, and I am Zach.
I'm Lucas.
We'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
You're back with your family now, where there's nothing to be afraid of. Except that fog that turns people inside out.
Huh? Uh-oh, it's seeping in. Stupid cheap weather stripping.
Worse than that flashing virus.